It's always soccer in Philadelphia on a Tuesday afternoon here in the great borough of Lansdale. Actually, Upper Gwynedd. I guess I should know where I live now. It's a Lansdale postal address, but Upper Gwynedd Township. And we have breaking news because this is the first podcast that we have recorded in person, not on Zoom, in I think at least a year. So I actually have a guest here in person. See, this is what we normally do. Whenever the Union make a foreign signing, we like to get somebody from that country or who follows that league on the podcast to tell us all about it. But we don't have to go to Denmark for that because we have our very own Dane right here in our backyard. It's Brian Kammersgaard returning to the show. What's going on, man?
Well, last time I was on here was before the pandemic, and you live somewhere else. But yes, but yeah, it's this signing is it's going to be. I think it's Michael Ure is one of those players that he's probably too good for the MLS, but because of the circumstances and the way they are right now, mm-hmm. they it turned out that this is going to be a pretty big steal, I think.
Okay, so Mikael Ure, there's no Ure, it's just one syllable here. Mikael Ure, is how you say it?
Pretend like the H is not there.
Okay.
Ure.
Mikael Ure. Like an Ure, like I'm on a rowboat, yes. And I'm paddling with an Ure.
And Ure in Danish, we talked about that, that actually means watch.
Like yeah.
Rich watch.
Okay.
And that's what his name means, but... And that's why when you Google it, it says Michael Watch. You go, huh?
Yeah, I did the crappy Google Translate or whatever, and it says watch signs for Philadelphia. There's always something funny that comes up when you do one of those.
You go, that doesn't make sense.
But. So he's from. So let me just back it up, just in case people are living under a rock here. From Brøndby, 27 years old, striker, broke into the Danish national team only recently. He has one cap for him. Scored. I think 11 goals last year, and he's got something like 16, 13 goals and some amount. He's had double-digit goals at least the last 2 years.
Last year, he was the leading scorer in the Danish league. I think he had 21 maybe or 19 or somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. But that might be including in the Danish Cup Winners' Cup or in the Danish Cup. But this year, he has 11 goals in half the season. So right now, the way the Danish season goes, a lot like they play in the fall and then they will pick up the second part of the season in the spring and play the second half and then the champions will be done in June.
So it's almost like a clausura and an apertura that they do in Latin America.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's the reason to do that is because it's just too cold in Denmark. Even if it was, the fields got heat in and all that kind of stuff, but it's just too cold to sit and watch it.
They did that in Norway and Sweden and and Finland too?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Russia too.
Yeah.
They tried to trade because it's just too cold. I mean, you can go there and you can have all the heat fields you want, but if the people are sitting there and it's 40 below zero, it's not...
We're freezing our asses off.
It's not fun. So they take off from, I think it's about end of November, maybe beginning of December, and then they will... Most of the teams will start up playing again in the middle of March, maybe. That's when the first rounds are. Brøndby will probably... Before I came here in... God, it feels like it's 10 years ago, but it's now 33 years ago.
You've lived in the United States almost as long as I have.
That's correct. It's just now you're telling how old I am, too. God. So with Brøndby, it's always been... I was always a Brøndby fan, and then I was lucky enough that the last 5 years before I moved here, I was lucky enough to work and coach in Brøndby. Mm-hmm. That's actually where I started to coach at. I learned how to coach.
Yeah.
And so I was always a big fan. So I've always followed the talent that come out of there. And Brøndby has, if there's a good player, the Laudrup's played in Brøndby. You know, if there's a good talent during the 80s and 90s, if there was a very good Danish player most of the time, that's where it came from. Mm-hmm. They had a great scouting department, so they were able to really, and they still do. They go and they pick out what they think are the biggest talent, and they develop them into more. They have an academy right now in Brøndby called the Masterclass, mm-hmm. where they really. Tried to send players through, and they sent last year. Michael Ure was not part of that because they bought him from another Danish club, but there was Jeppe Lindstrom, who ended up playing Frankfurt in Germany this year. They sold him for 53 million Danish crowns, which is a huge amount for a Danish for a Danish team, and he's actually been Rookie of the Year there, or in the runs for Rookie of the the Week for three times in the Bundesliga. So he's done well. But they have a good, they have a really good youth program. And what happens to Danish players like Michael, where Michael came from, he came from two small Danish clubs.
And I could not, I was talking to you on the phone, I could not pronounce them at all.
Well, the part of the world he comes from, it's over in Jutland, which we... it's like Jersey, you know. It's like we kind of make fun of them, like when it's just because it's there's a lot further between the cities and towns over there, so it's they call it the Dark Jutland.
Okay,
but that's where he grew up, and he played in Randers, and he also played in Sønderjyske, which is it means Southern Jutland.
Okay,
and if you translate it straight over, and then he. Brøndby went in and they bought him very cheap. I think they paid 3.5 million Danish crowns for him, which is about $500,000 U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
And the crown is worth about $1 is worth about 13 Danish crowns right now.
One U.S. dollar is worth 13 Danish crowns. Okay.
I looked it up yesterday, so. So I could try to get old, because sometimes
if you don't know, then I don't know.
Yeah, I know. And they also say because all the numbers we're going to get to in a little bit are all in Danish. So what to know about Michael is he has a very young baby, like just born, and he has obviously he's engaged. I don't think he's married yet. So coming to the U.S., when you look at the other offers he had.
We
know he turned down an offer in China,
right? I think the Middle East. There was an offer in the Middle East.
Then he had an offer to go to Dubai, however you say it.
Okay, so in the Emirates, so Middle East.
And both of them, when you look at having a young family, his family were not going with him if he was going to China, and they weren't going with him if he was going to a country where women are not having the same rights as they would
and
have.
To that point real quick, there's recent history of guys coming over here to Philly and bringing young families with them. Jacob Glesnes has a little boy. Daniel Gajdag, I think, has like a 2 or 3 or 4 year old or something like that.
And when you see a lot of Europeans, a lot of younger Europeans coming to the U.S. is quite a big, you know, your kids are going to grow up in an environment where nothing is going to be missing.
Yeah.
If you want, if you want to go to private school and can afford it, you'll have that opportunity. And in Denmark and so on, in small countries in Europe, you don't always have that option because there's just not enough kids around. So when Danes in general love America, I mean, I think my one sister has been here 50 times, maybe 55. Like, actually, she's here right now. She's in Florida now.
Oh, really?
Like, I told her, I don't know how you got there. I can't go there. You know what I mean? With COVID, I'm not allowed there. You are. But they are in Miami right now. Actually, today they're driving down up to Fort Lauderdale. But anyway, that's a different story. So Danes in general loves America, and that's how I ended up here too.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity to come here, and I was like, you know what? I'm never going to get that opportunity again. So I went, and I was supposed to be here for 3 months, and here we are. So when you have an opportunity like that for Danes to come here, most people will be very acceptable towards that. And what you then have to remember is that in Denmark you pay, depending on the tax bracket you're in, but the least amount you pay is 53% or 54%. And now with that you get everything. You know, you don't have to pay for kindergarten, you don't have to pay for university, you don't have to pay go to the doctor. None of all that is, most of it is free. There are now some things you can get a quicker appointment if you pay a small amount and so on.
But the Scandinavian countries have more socialist setups.
It's all a socialist, democratic type of entity. And then Denmark, Sweden, and Norway, they all have it. Finland has it. Denmark is probably the most extreme in terms of of how much the government actually pays for it. You can go and get a, not just go and get a university degree, but they will pay you to take it.
Yeah. So Orr comes over here and he's saving more of his paycheck.
Even let's say he came over here and he was get paid the same, which he's not. He's getting a huge pay increase. But let's say he was getting paid the same.
But just for the sake of it,
So he would, his paycheck would be 30% bigger. You know, if let's say he's paying 25% or 26% taxes or whatever here. I don't even know. But I think that's about what it is here, right? And then there he would pay at least 55%. And I know he would probably pay a lot more. So that 30% is a big deal.
Yeah.
And what also happens in Denmark, which is works in his favor, is now that he's out of the country, he does not have to pay taxes in Denmark, obviously.
Yeah.
And but he's still entitled to all the things that comes with living in Denmark, being a Dane.
So even as he's still a Danish citizen, even though he's working.
We're
doing a live show for the first time.
So if you are, if he is to go home and have an operation, it won't cost him anything.
Oh, okay. So he still benefits from all that stuff.
He would obviously be covered under union, but if his wife needed to give birth, for instance, she can go do that in Denmark if she chose to, and it wouldn't cost anything.
It's not like you're employed in the United States now. You now forfeit all this stuff.
You still retain all those rights until you actually say, "I'm moving out of the country forever. I'm not coming back."
Yeah.
But so that's one thing, and the other thing is that if he's when he has been here for or been abroad for 2 or 3 years. He can, and let's say that another Danish team wants to sign him back. He can now go back to Denmark under something they called a doctor. Scientist. They call it the scientist program, where because the country wants obviously would like a lot of scientists and doctors to move to the country to help improve. So they have the same thing now. There's a loophole where he can now go back. And he can fall into a much lower tax bracket because he lived outside the country for long, and he's still in the top in soccer, where if he was a doctor, he would be one of the top doctors around. You know, he's a top soccer player. Mm-hmm. He gets paid for that reason, you know, in that. So
interesting. So he looks like a good player, just judging from the clips that I've watched. He looks like he's got good speed. He looks like a pretty good finisher. He just looks like he's, you know, around the ball and just has a good nose for goal. And, you know, that was my main observation, but it seems like he was a little bit of a late bloomer. You know, he's 27 years old now and, you know, didn't really kind of break through, I guess, until he turned like 25. I mean, is that accurate based on what I'm watching?
What happened with him was he's always scored like 6 or 7 goals in the Danish league.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brøndby went and said, look, because Brøndby sold a couple of players, and basically Brøndby was looking for cheap options to they got a new owner, and just they were looking for a cheap option, and they, because they wanted to develop their own players, but they also wanted to stay up. So they went and got him, and I don't think anybody expected Michael to do what he did, which was right away falling into a groove. And the first year he was in Brøndby, he helped them become Danish champs. And being a late bloomer like he is, I mean, he, like you said, I think that if they play him right here at the Union, and he and his teammates understands when he needs the ball, there is going to be a lot of teams that's going to be turning around picking that ball out of the net, because he is fast.
Mm-hmm.
He can use both feet. And not only is he a scorer, and he can use his head as well, but he has a great soccer brain. So he sees when all guys are open. Hmm. Like I've been able to ESPN Plus. If you buy the membership, you can actually watch the Danish league on there.
Yeah.
So I've been watching the Danish league for 2 years. So I've been watching him play almost every game that they play, and you're just sitting there waiting for him. He's very exciting to watch because he does things that he's technical to as well, which sometimes when you look at a forward, you don't always get that. You either get the speed or you get the technique or you get the ability to kick the ball in, you know, different right directions. But he has a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him dangerous, really.
He broke into the national team. The Denmark national team is pretty damn good.
Yeah, they are.
You know, some of the forwards, Cornelius is playing for Trabzonspor right now, Andreas Cornelius. They have a guy playing for Bologna.
Dom Gore is playing. He actually just hurt himself. He's out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you know, Yusuf Poulsen was in the setup for a while.
He plays for Red Bull.
For Leipzig. Yeah.
And he still scores goals. I mean, see what happened to Damien.
Dahlberg and Braithwaite
from place of Barcelona.
So for him to get a cap at all, considering that there's like five or six like European quality dudes.
What happened was that Denmark called in. They were going to play Austria at home, and then Scotland at home.
Yeah,
they got into that too, but leading up to it, they had some battles with COVID, and Poulsen was one of the guys that wasn't sure if he was going to be able to leave a clean test or not. So they brought him in, and he actually got to play, and he actually hit the crossbar. But again,
this is Orr you're talking about because Poulsen wasn't able to get
Poulsen got back, but they allowed him to play anyway. And Denmark at that point had a very exciting Euros, besides from the whole Eriksson debacle that happened. And there's some breaking news on him today that he looks like he's going to sign with a DPL with the Danish club. Thomas Frank is the coach. Brentford.
Brentford. Christian Eriksen is going to Brentford.
So it looks like Eriksen is going to. He was a doctor's check away from passing it, but they said because of the, it was very detailed because of the heart defect and so on. It hasn't actually been announced yet. But he was there today to go through that test.
Yeah.
But anyway, just going back to Michael Orr. So Michael Orr, if you didn't have, for the first time in probably 10 years, Denmark has like six forwards that are very exciting. They have Anders Skov, who actually plays in Denmark right now, but he just sticks the ball. He scored a hat trick during qualification. And if you don't know this, Denmark went undefeated in World Cup qualification up until the last game and against Scotland in Scotland, and they just didn't show. They were like to go on the field, but they didn't play well, and Scotland won 2-1 or 1-0, and Scotland qualified as well, so they needed that win. But Denmark had played unreal and scored. They didn't let up a goal in the whole qualifying until that game against Scotland.
And Orr got to play in the Champions League qualifying in the Europa League. So he played against Rangers. He played against Sparta Prague. Yeah. I want to say the toughest opponent in their Europa League group was Lyon.
Yeah.
They played Brendan Aaronson Salzburg.
They did, yeah.
Actually, yeah, I just remembered all that off the top of my head. You can tell everybody I did not have it written down.
But you and I, what's funny, look, you and I know the history behind all this because you and I talked a while back about what players in Denmark and that was out there and And one of the guys that I said, I don't think the union has a chance.
Yeah, it was crazy. You just like randomly brought his name up, and I was like, oh, that, you know, that would be.
I would have loved him to, because I'm just looking. I do this every year, and I look at players that I'm going, you know what, this guy is a fantastic player.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that they have enough money to be willing to sign him, because the union, we all know unions don't throw a whole ton of money around.
And just so we're being clear here, Brian and I talked about Mikhail Orr, but Brian is not the source. Like, I'm telling you, we just have like random like conversation, like regularly, because you and I have known each other for like you know 10 years or whatever. We ref together, and you know every so often we're texting or whatever, and like he was a name that came up randomly. But then I think
87 names, you know, of guys that.
Yeah, but then this one just popped up like randomly from somebody else, and I was like, okay, well, that would be like it made me like think, because I'm like, okay, I think I've heard that name before, but you know, with the union, like you never know how much they're into. You never know if it's just like they looked at a guy when somebody gives you a name, it's like. Okay, did they look at his YouTube video? Yeah. Did they contact his agent? Like, did they make a formal offer? Did they send a scout? You never really know what the level of like.
I think the connection that might be here is that the union, not the union, well, the union's sporting director obviously is German, and Brøndby, the guy that signed Mikhail Orr to Brøndby was Alexander Senninger, who ended up getting fired right before the season where they won the championship.
Okay, all right.
But he's German as well. And he coached in Germany.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if there's a connection between them talking. I know that at some point they were together in one of those smaller clubs over there.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be their connection. But every year I do a wish list. You know, I look at who is in Denmark and who I think. Because it's fun to kind of see who's going to go and where they go and so on. And with Mikhail Orr, right? They've been talking about. I mean, Norwich had been looking at him for a year, but Norwich also went to Brøndby and they got Pukki for free.
Timo Pukki.
Yeah, because they went and they basically went and told him, don't sign another contract. We'll pay you a good salary, mm-hmm. but we want you for free. So he stopped. Taking any more Brøndby offers, so he just walked away for free, and then he signed the next day with Norwich. And they had been talking to Norwich about him for a long time. So when Norwich came back and they wanted to talk to Mikhail Orr, I think there was a little bit of bad blood there, where Brøndby just said, "Okay, you can have him, but you're gonna pay us an extraordinary amount of money because Mikhail has a year left on his contract. I think his contract is out in the 1st of January next year. I'm not sure if that's what it is, but that's about where it's at. So I knew that offer was there. I knew that he had an offer from China. I knew he had an offer from the Middle East. And then I'm like, you know what? He's not going to go anywhere. And there was an offer from Russia, too. And I just knew that he wasn't going to go play in the Russian league. Yeah. And then...
I thought I heard San Etienne might have been sniffing around.
And then after the fact, there was a lower-level Italian club that was out there looking.
Might have been. I thought I saw like Venezia.
Yeah, Venezia.
They're linked to every.
Yeah, place. It was Venezia, but again, they also have a Danish scout. He was all over that. I mean, this just shows you how important it is to really have you got to be a little lucky. I mean, and then you also got to remember that for somebody. I read in a Danish paper that Brøndby had promised Mikhail Orr that we're not paying a whole lot for you here.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that your salary is not going to be huge. But we will, when a club comes around that you want to go to, we won't stop it.
Well, and I you know, it's funny because you target like these European guys. There are guys who love... You know, you talked about the idea of Danes liking America. Yeah. And, like, even, like, Harris Madunian came over here and he wanted to go to the basketball games. Yeah. He wanted to go to the football games. And people just want that, like, continental change, and they wanted like
that NBA,
the culture, I mean, and the different
exactly,
stuff.
Exactly. You know? You got to remember the youth in Denmark, more so than when I lived there.
Yeah.
NBA is huge.
Yeah.
NFL is huge. Mm-hmm. But they don't get to see it because they can only watch it on TV. And you got to remember, we are 6 hours behind. So when you watch a 7 o'clock game here,
it's like 2 in the morning.
It's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. When you see all these, how many Instagram and like Snapchat and like whatever have we seen of these guys sitting live, like even Shabilko, like at the Sixers game, like ringing the bell or whatever. It's like, it goes a long way for a cultural shift for them and like an exciting new thing. You know, I wonder because I watch, you know, I watch Midtjylland play in the Champions League.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen the Copenhagen teams of like good Copenhagen teams of years past, and you know, Aalborg is a pretty good team as well. What would you say at this point? How comparable the Danish league is to MLS?
Here. I think, and it's funny because I look at that ranking and they say, oh, the MLS is the seventh best league in the world.
Where'd you see that?
Well, if you Google it, it's going to be out there. People say, oh, it's the seventh best league in the world.
You know what, here's the thing real quick about about MLS, why you can never really accurately compare MLS to any foreign league anyway, because a lot of foreign leagues are more like top heavy.
Yep.
Like I would have Midtjylland winning MLS every year.
They would.
But like the bottom half of the Danish league
would not,
right? Because the relative parity, you know, 1 to however many teams, I don't even know how many MLS teams we have, like 30 or something, like 1 to 30 would not like the bottom feeding team in MLS would probably do better than the bottom feeding team that's fighting relegation in like another.
I agree with you. I would think that. So if I'm going to compare the level of play, if you take Midtjylland, FC Copenhagen, Brøndby, OB, which is Aalborg, and then right now there is the very exciting FC Nordsjælland, which is the they're a little club north of Copenhagen.
They
have developed a lot of young players lately.
Yeah.
So they are. They probably when some of those teams play each other, there's some very good soccer.
Yeah.
And it's very good football. And listen, there's a reason the Danish national team is good, because Denmark is 5 million people. That's what's in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are talking about per capita, we have more players playing professional in the bigger leagues than any other country, and that's for a lot of reasons. One is that the Danish league knows we can take it this far, and then you got to go if you're gonna be better. So we're not gonna go out and also what the Danish league has been good at, it's changing a little bit now. Is they have been good at they've been good in playing Danish players.
Mm-hmm.
Playing their homegrown talent, playing Danish players, so give the young guys an opportunity to come up, get good minutes under their belts, and then either make it or drop back a little bit and get some more experience. But I agree with you. I think if you take FC Copenhagen, Midtjylland, and Brøndby to a degree, all those three teams would be in the top of the MLS.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the Lundby and Southern, Sunderland, which is Southern Jutland, they're teams that keeps going up and down, up and down. And
that's,
again,
if
there is no, and I think this part of the problem with the MLS is this, that it's hard to take a league serious that don't have any relegation and I know that it's a sore subject. Because
you're not a pro row. Tell me you're not a pro row guy.
I think you have to be.
Well, and look, we'll just say this: like it's apples and oranges.
Yeah,
like you guys have been doing it over there.
You can't compare it, and I understand that.
Yeah.
You can't compare it, and that's why I like the MLS. But I also think that if you are, for instance, how the Union used to be, right?
They would have got relegated.
They would have gotten relegated, or they would have had to have gotten better.
Sooner,
because when you go watch in Denmark or anywhere else in the world, you go watch a game against it. People said, well, why do people go when their team is the second or fourth to lowest team in the league?
Yeah.
Because they need points.
So yeah, they're fighting for something.
You're fighting for something. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, it doesn't matter, the game.
Yeah, and I like all that about that system, too. I just think, you know, if soccer was like the number one sport or the number two sport over here and you could afford teams in major markets dropping down, you would do it. But, how many people would show up at Subaru Park if the Union were in Division Two
and that's
playing the Charleston Battery, you know?
And you're right. I mean, I don't see – and see, in Europe – the people would because
they're supporting their club and they're fighting for their life
and they want to get them back up again. So anyway, FC Midtjylland in Denmark has been very good lately, and that's because they got an English owner who actually owns Brentford.
Mm-hmm.
So he came in and he bought them, and so they have actually been developing a lot. There's 7 Danes that plays for Brentford plus the coach.
And Jim made the point too when he was on the podcast last, where he was talking about like Granada and some other team are owned by the same, which is why you always see like transfer links between those clubs because it's the same thing.
They change players. Like if a player in Brentford needs some time, and you don't have to send him down to your B team or whatever, you can send him to a Midtjylland and he will get some playing time in a very good league. The Danish league, I would think, playing wise, is. It's probably one of the top 10 in the world. Now, Danes, I know that when they do the world rankings and all that kind of stuff, the Danes league don't rank so high because you don't have crowds of 40 or 50 or 60,000. Mm-hmm. You do when Brøndby plays FC Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Because that's a local derby and it's all from the same town. But you're not going to have it when Brøndby is at home against Runders, you know, from the darker part of Jutland, you know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. So it is interesting how that gets. I think when you talk about developing player and developing talent, Denmark has spent an awful lot of money, and the Danish Federation has spent a lot of money, and the clubs have said, you know what? We're going to spend a lot of time, money, and effort on developing players, no matter what it costs us.
So I'm going to loop – I only got like a couple more bullets here. I actually want to kind of loop them all into one thing because they're all related. And look, the bottom line here, like the real takeaway is that the Union are splashing the cash, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to end up being a few million here. I'm trying to remember what the number was off the top of my head.
If you believe what the Danish paper said about what Michael Ure cost, then it will be a little over 3 million.
Right, and we're not – completely
that's not,
sure.
That's not going to... I don't think that's going to be the amount. Again, because of the agreement that Michael Ure had with Brøndby.
Right.
And also that they didn't want to sell to Norwich.
Right, right. And there are things are structured in different ways, too. Yeah. And I would just say this without knowing the explicit, like, you know, numbers of the deal, like... Things can be arranged in various ways. You know, like, if you look at, like, what the Philadelphia Eagles are doing, you know, like, sometimes they'll, like... You'll see a number for a guy, but you know they might arrange it so that some of that is front loaded or back loaded or whatever, and so it's the money.
And one of the things that Brøndby said was that they sold him for 20 million crowns,
mm-hmm.
and then with 5 million more in bonuses and
And it's like the Brendan Aaronson thing too. You get your kickers and your sell on fees, so it's kind of impossible to nail that number. But the bottom line is that the Union are making a splash for a good striker. I mean, we've been yelling about this for forever. Yeah. That's the first part. Number two, in order to do it, they needed to trade their leading goal scorer over the last 3 years, and so that's kind of the first part of. And this isn't really a question; it's just something you can react to. But you have to you know, set your sights a little bit higher because it's easy to upgrade a shit team.
Yeah.
It's hard to upgrade a good team. And the Union are a really good team. And, like, I know people loved Kasper and they thought he did some great things here, and I agree. But you're going to have to make hard – the better you get, the harder the decisions you have to make.
If people like Kasper for his work rate, then it's going to get better. If people like Kasper for his goal scoring – it's going to get better. My goal is a better player than Kasper ever was. I mean, and this is, again, when people, and you got to be careful how you say it, but when Letou was the big player here, that's the reason he was here. He couldn't make it in France.
I mean, he was – well, and look, he was an expansion draft selection from Seattle, you know? So
he was an average player in France. Like, he would never have played 4 or 5 years as a professional player in the top league in any other place than right here.
Yeah.
And now he did well. He scored a ton of goals.
Kasper, yeah, I don't want it to make, I don't want it to seem like we're like shitting on like.
I know you're not,
and I know we're not, but it's like I'm trying to get the idea through to people because I think people become attached to players and the good things they do here, and I agree with that. And Kasper scored like 35 goals here or whatever,
but three years, right?
Like if you want to take that next step from like great team to like really 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 great team,
you sometimes gotta make hard. You couldn't have both there. Here's the thing.
Let me do this. This is a good way to do the exercise. If we all agree that the Union need to improve, right?
Yeah.
And I go through the name of all 11 guys on there, I'd be like, "Do you need to? Can you improve Kasper?" People are like, "No, we like him. We think he's good." I'm like, "Do you want to improve Jamiro?" Like, "No, we like him and we think he's good." I could go through all 11 guys, and people would say they don't have. Well, you gotta like make. You gotta do something somewhere.
Do you know? To get a player like Michael Orr, how many times have the Union have a player that was in and around a top 10 national team in the world?
Yeah.
How many times did that happen?
No, it's like a gauchedog kind of thing. Like now they're getting guys who are like on the periphery of their national teams and are doing it.
And I'm telling you, when the other part of that is you're the Union. You know how hard it is to find a player like Jacob?
Glesner,
from Norway. You know how hard it is to find players like that? Because you have to find a player that not only are a good quality player, but you got to be able to afford him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you got to be able to talk him into coming here.
Yeah.
And Scandinavian soccer players, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, I will almost guarantee you that a bunch of those players, if you could tell them what's your dream country to go play in, they would tell you America.
Yeah.
A lot of that is because of the taxes. It's because of you got to remember, we grow up watching the same movies you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
We grow up watching the same music that you listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
But guess where it's from? It's all from here.
Yeah.
Right? And we are there.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, there's times.
Except I was the other way around because I was listening to King Diamond.
King Diamond.
And Merciful Fate. Yeah.
You should have been in Diamond. But the problem, you know, the issue, like, and this is what I always tell people this is like, you got everything we all look up to in movies and so on, it's all here.
Yeah.
And everything you see in the movies, they're all from here.
Yeah.
You know, so that creates part of it. Like, a lot of times, I spoke fluent television when I was 6 years old because all the TV I was watching was from here. So I couldn't read the subtitles because I wasn't old enough to read, but I could hear.
Yeah.
So I would say I would repeat the same things.
But isn't it such a small, like, it sounds so stupid, it sounds so obvious to say this, but how much value is there in finding dudes who actually want to be here? Because you can throw $20 million at anybody on the planet and they'll come for the money.
Yeah.
But finding somebody who wants the culture
and
the challenge.
And that is hard to do. And that's why I was so excited about this signing is because...
Look at all these dudes who might want to go play for Beckham in Miami because they'll throw them like $5 million and they can sit on the beach.
That's not what this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've told you this before. It's very easy to get an established player that played at Juventus to go play at New York Metro Store or New York Red Bulls or LA.
LA Galaxy.
Or wherever. Because,
or even Toronto now.
You know, that's where the money is and that's the capital. And, you know, look, and but for somebody, those guys to come to Philadelphia, I would probably tell you that in the Danish league, Michael Orr was probably the third most talked about player. So there was a couple of guys that went, like Anders Skov Jensen went, and the reason he went earlier or he got more money is because he was younger. I mean, he's 5 years younger, so he has more upside to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Orr, because he grew up where he grew up, and being the age he was, the Union are going to get a player that I don't think they've ever had before.
That's cool. It's exciting, man. I told somebody, I said,
if I could talk to everybody about buying season tickets, he's the kind of player that's a reason to buy season tickets because he could he could score 20 plus goals this year.
20 plus goals
that,
this year.
I believe that, like I said, if he's played right, and that, then there's a couple of things that comes in to play. Being Danish, you're never playing the heat of Philadelphia in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
You know, and being Danish, you've never have to travel across the country to play. So there's a lot of things that comes into play.
He's going to face a lot of the same challenges. But here's a good thing. He's not a mid-season signing. Like, those guys have so much trouble coming in and getting acclimated.
And I'll tell you that this is a kid that he's going to be prepared when he gets there. Everything I can talk to, anybody I've talked to in Brøndby, and I still have a bunch of friends that are youth coaches in and around over there that works for the master the master class program, mm-hmm. they all tell me the same thing. He's a fantastic human being.
Well, that's the biggest, that's the most important part. You know, finding good people, finding people who want to be here. You know, Philadelphia is almost like a filter in a way, because it's like, you won't come here in the first place unless you're one of those kinds of guys. Because it means, in order to say yes to Philadelphia, it means that, like, Miami and L.A. and all that didn't really matter in the first place.
And that's exactly
it's not like Robert Pires 10 years ago, who reportedly was looking for a beautiful city, and apparently Chester didn't qualify.
No.
You know?
I can tell you this. When I first came here to this country, right, and I'm looking at the maps, I'm saying, you can come see us. We're in Philadelphia. I'm going, Philadelphia, New York. I know New York.
I know where New York is.
I know Washington.
I know San Fran.
I know Francisco. Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Oh, there it is. And I'm going.
Yeah.
And then I got here. And I can tell you, I will never move away from Philadelphia.
No,
I love
great,
it.
Man. I love it. No, it's great. And I you know, now I think as the Union build their identity and you see the success, now they can point. Now when they're pitching a guy like Mikael Orr, they can say, look, Jacob Glesnes just came over here from Norway, and he's established, and his son is doing great over here.
And
every example that you have to sell to somebody, it's like when you're recruiting for a college program, and you say, look at all these motherfuckers I put in the NFL. Yeah. You know, I put like 100 of them in the NFL.
Look at this. If you're his wife, because the thing that comes with it, and you always got to remember this, you're his wife. Where do you rather be in Russia, China, Dubai, you know, somewhere in Turkey?
Yeah.
Where would you rather be? Or you can live in Philadelphia,
where
you can walk around as a normal person.
People aren't going to be up your ass.
Nope.
You know, and most people probably won't know who you are, but they like it that way.
And that's a huge thing. And I'm excited, man. I'm telling everybody that wants to listen to me, he's going to be an extremely good player in this league. And I say that he's going to be, if he's not scoring 20, he's going to be very close to it.
Well, I'm excited. I'm ready to get the season started right now. I'm standing behind my bar. I'm ready to run.
We need some TVs tomorrow.
I know. I my bar is not completely set up, but this is actually the first event that we've done at my bar.
Got to talk to a vendor.
Yeah, we got to get some beers down here. We got to get clean. I've been in this house for almost a year now. I still don't have it set up. But maybe when Mikael Orr scores his first Union goal, we'll have a watch party over here, and we'll get some.
To all you guys that are listening to this, you know how Kevin used to be a Philly guy, and I live in Philly. I can hear the traffic. Yeah. Well, the neighbor here is probably a mile down the road.
Well, I got like four. I got like a four different like deer families in the backyard.
I've never seen anything like it. I've walked in here. I'm going. Yeah.
I got enough room in the backyard that I could do a watch party here. Yeah, I could put a projector screen.
I can move into your treehouse.
The treehouse, I know. I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. Like,
instead of cable,
we are not we are not filthy rich. We stumbled into a great scenario where the only reason I told you before we moved in, I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but the only reason we ended up in this house, we were punching way above our weight, is because there was a dipshit kid here that lived here before us, and he got COVID.
What a great kid!
They threw a raging house party here. He got COVID and scuppered his mom's real estate deal. So the only reason we got this house is because we were the second choice. But no, I got enough room. We'll do a watch party up here. I'll introduce everybody to the backyard menagerie. We've got deer. We've got two foxes back there. We've got a gopher. And the most rare, we call it the menagerie, right? It's like the zoo back there.
I think that's a racetrack back there as well.
That's a little path that I made. Yeah, I've come back in touch with my like woodsy side since I moved back to the suburbs.
You live on the woods and playing a guitar?
I know. Well, that's how you get away from Twitter and all the dumb bullshit on there. I go out in the woods and I leave my phone in here and I do, I cut down trees. But, yeah, we'll have to do a... gathering here or something. Yeah. But we're excited for Mikhail Oren. Thank you, BK, for coming on.
No problem.
And sharing some knowledge about it. Why go to Denmark when we have our very own Dane in our backyard right here?
I mean, like I said, if you're interested in watching some good soccer, go on that ESPN Plus and just, it comes on after the, most of the time after the Premier League, and you can watch one or two games, and it's the soccer is actually very good.
Appreciate you, brother. Always good to have you on. We'll do it again, all right?
Yep, thanks, man.